Psalm 27 this morning is our memory verse. Psalm 27, verse 4, if you find your place and stand with me. Psalm 27, 4, let's say it together. Psalm 27, 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. Psalm 27, 4. Let's say it again, please. Psalm 27, 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. Psalm 27, 4. One last time. Psalm 27, 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. Psalm 27:4. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the rain, Lord. We thank you for that. And Lord, I pray now that you would allow the Holy Spirit of God to work amongst us this morning, to speak to us, teach us this truth from the Word of God. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're back in Exodus today. Exodus chapter number 30 today. Exodus 30. We have Mount Sinai and Moses at Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. He's still there talking with God. God's given him the instructions of what the children of Israel should be doing and how they were to worship him in this tabernacle that God is showing Moses the pattern of. He's also given him the Ten Commandments, the law. But as we're looking in this quarter at the tabernacle, we saw last week we were talking about the linen curtain, the court of the tabernacle, and talked about the meanings of the colors of the linen court and the gate and the doorway. And you must go through the door, not just believe that the door is there and believe that the door represents Christ, but you must go through the door by faith to be able to enter into the presence of God. And that shows us, of course, our salvation. You cannot enter into the presence of God in heaven unless you have gone by way of the door, which Jesus says, I am the door, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as we come today to Exodus 30, we're going to look at another portion of the tabernacle that deals with the fencing and the structure that upholds the structure. A very critical piece of the tabernacle today, but we come across a verse that seems utterly contradictory to the entire Bible. And that's what I want to speak on a little bit this morning. On Exodus 30, beginning in verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them, this they shall give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and half a shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. When they give an offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Now go back to verse number 12. And notice again as it says, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul. Now, this seems to say that they're paying for the redemption of their own soul. You go further as we read, and it's an atonement money. It's atonement for their souls. This is contradictory to what we know about the Word of God if we take it at its face value. So this is not an easy verse to just read and grasp. At first glance, it seems the children of Israel are being required of God to pay for their redemption. This ransom that God is requiring was a monetary one. It was a half a shekel. A half a shekel was to be made and paid by those 20 years old and upwards for an atonement for their souls. This seems, again, contradictory to what we know about the Scriptures. So what is this passage trying to teach us? Oh, well, there's a great truth here. For we know there are no contradictions in the Word of God. So we must dig deeper and find out, what does this mean? On the surface, it seems to contradict 1 Peter 1:18, where it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." And this payment in Exodus 30 is a silver half shekel. Well, 1 Peter tells us we're not redeemed by silver or gold. Ephesians 2:8-9 teaches us, "For by grace are ye saved by faith, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works." Well, giving would be a work. So it is not, it can't be what it says on face value. We must dig deeper. Israel was already a redeemed people. We've seen that before. Go hold your place and go to Exodus 13. They've come through the Red Sea. And here we have in Exodus 15. In Exodus 15, look at verse 13. As they've passed through the Red Sea, now they're praising the Lord for their redemption, from their salvation, for their rescue. Look in verse number 13. "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed." It's already taken place. They're already redeemed people. So how can this verse that we're looking at in Exodus 30 mean that this is their redemption? It can't. Remember the Passover lamb? It's the blood of Christ. Picture of the blood of Christ. The blood on the lintels and the doorpost is talking about our salvation there. So why then was a ransom price necessary? When we come to a passage like this that seems difficult, when we come to a passage like this that seems like we just can't grasp what it means, we must look at the context, not only of the passage, but of the chapter and the preceding chapters and the receding chapters, but also the book that it's in, and then compare it to the entire Scriptures. So as we look at this quickly, we will realize that the passage and the chapters preceding and receding this portion of Scripture are all talking about the pattern of the tabernacle. The theme of the book of Exodus is redemption. It's the revelation of redemption, as we've seen. And this is a dominant principle and subject throughout the book of Exodus. And if we look at the Bible as a whole, it talks about salvation through Jesus Christ by faith only. But it's also about the blood of Christ, the blood of a substitute, an innocent lamb. So if we go back to this passage in question, Exodus 30 and verse 12, the giving of the ransom money was connected with something. Notice again in verse 12. Notice the first word, when. "When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number." Then. We have a when, and then we have a then. So there's a two-part condition in this verse. First, we must number the children of Israel. "Then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord." Now, when numbering is mentioned in the Scriptures, it refers to ownership. When God numbers or orders anything to be numbered, taking the sum then denotes that they belong to Him, and that He has the sovereign right to do with them as He pleases. So He first says, "When you number the children of Israel," He's saying, "This is my people. This is my owner of these people. I have redeemed them. They are mine." In the numberings of Israel is God dealing with the people whom He had redeemed for Himself, appropriating what was His and assigning to each and all their places before Him. Think of the Levites. God had them assigned and appropriated for a specific task. Just as the atonement money, this atonement money that we're talking about in Exodus 30, this atonement for their souls, this ransom for their soul, just as this money, this half shekel of silver that they were to pay unto the Lord, just as that sum could not ransom their souls, so too could not the blood of all the bulls and goats that they would bring to offer at the tabernacle ransom their souls. That blood that they would bring of that little lamb or that bull or that goat, and they would bring to offer at the brazen altar once it's set up, and the process of giving the offerings and the burnt offerings and the peace offerings and the trespass offerings, and give those offerings once they have established that, the money could not ransom their souls, and the blood of those animals could not redeem or ransom their souls. You know, Hebrews chapter 10 is a great chapter to help us understand what's going on here. Verse 4 says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." They couldn't. So why give all those blood sacrifices through the ages of the Old Testament? Why give the ransom of the half a shekel of silver? It was for a purpose. And this purpose is the lesson today. Just as the Israelite required to give that monetary amount for his soul, it was no more significant than the salvation that could be attained through the blood of a bull or a goat, because neither could attain to their salvation. They were all types, shadows, figures of something to come. It was the Lord teaching, it was God, Jehovah God, teaching His children a principle here. Who alone could make atonement for their souls but God Himself? And it must come through the blood of an innocent, Jesus Christ, His Son. So what is the Word of God revealing to us about the ransom payment? Especially, it is silver. Especially, why silver? Why not gold? Let us see first what this payment was used for in the tabernacle, and it will shed some light. So now turn over to Exodus 38. Remember, here in Exodus 30, Moses on Mount Sinai. As we get into Exodus 38, he's down and he's instructing the children of Israel about the pattern that God has taught him to build. And we have a little bit more understanding here in Exodus 38, beginning in verse 25. "And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents, and 1,730 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. A bekah for every man, that is half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for everyone that went to be numbered, from 20 years old and upward, for 603,550 men. And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary, and the sockets of the veil, 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. And of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars, and overlaid their capiters and filleted them. And the brass of the offering was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. And therewith he made the sockets of the door of the tabernacle, of the congregation, and the brazen altar." We get into brass here. But we see back in verse 27, he made sockets of the sanctuary. And then he went on and used it for the hooks. What are these sockets used for? What are these hooks used for? But to hold up the court of the tabernacle. It's not just a curtain just hanging there flapping in the breeze. We saw the pillars last week. Something has to connect the pillar with the curtain. Something has to connect them so that they're tight, so nobody can go through them. Nobody can go around them. These sockets are for a purpose. The entire structure was held up by the sockets of silver. Now, where did they get the silver to make the sockets? It goes back to Exodus 30 and verse 12, the giving of the offering of the ransom for their souls, a half shekel of silver for each over 20 years of age. So these sockets were arranged throughout the tabernacle to provide a foundation for the structure. Each socket of silver was a hole in which were filled the two projections of the base of each upright board. There was a board that went into the socket that went upright and out. And from them, tenons went snugly against and made a fit so that we have a foundation of silver sockets holding up the boards and the curtain of the tabernacle. And then they're inside the court into the holy place, and the Holy of Holies, we have a curtain. And in those, each, the curtain must be hooked to something. It has a pillar, but they have sockets of silver as their foundation. And that's holding up the whole structure, securing the structure. These sockets of silver were placed upon the desert ground, and the upright boards were placed in the sockets of silver with the tenons snugly fitting into the foundation sockets. The tabernacle, we know, is a picture. The entire tabernacle itself is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and also of a believer in Christ. Everything depends upon its foundation. All of it rests upon a base. The silver foundation speaks of the foundation of the tabernacle. The silver foundation speaks of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, on which our entire redemption depends and hangs. For silver is talking about a blood, is talking about blood, atonement by blood. The silver for this foundation was furnished by whom? By the children of Israel, 20 years old and upwards, who carried it out of the land of Egypt. If we go back to Exodus 30 now, and we again look, as God is speaking to Moses in verse 11, we see again in verse 12, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, he's going to count them, all those 20 years old and upwards, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. And it goes on and talks about that atonement for their souls. Verse 16 says, and thou shalt take the atonement money. This atonement money was of silver. That's how we know silver refers to atonement, which was required of every single Israelite, 20 years of age or older. None were to be exempt. Failure to furnish the silver meant death, cutting off from the assembly of Israel. You had been numbered and you disobeyed God, you were no longer in obedience to God. The amount, however, which was to be given by each individual was easily within their reach, from poor and rich alike. Half a shekel was about 35 cents in our money. Silver in the Bible speaks again of atonement. And this atonement is always to be by the blood of an innocent, a substitute. So we find that the silver foundation upon which the tabernacle rested signified that it was built upon the atoning blood of a substitute. On this foundation, the blood of atonement, the tabernacle of our redemption, is also built. And only those who furnished the half shekel of silver could be numbered among the children of Israel. Failure to pay the atonement blood money meant disobedience to the commandments of God and alienation from God. As we saw back in Exodus 38, verses 25 and especially 27, the silver collected by Moses was melted down, and it was formed into sockets of silver. the tabernacle in Israel, therefore, rested entirely upon a foundation of silver. Only thing holding the tabernacle up is the silver sockets. The only thing that allowed it to block anyone from coming to the presence of God was the foundation of silver. And of course, we realize now that talks about the atoning, the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Silver, therefore, becomes in the Bible a symbol and a figure of the price of atonement. Look with me in Leviticus chapter 17. One verse here, Leviticus 17. As we carry this thought through the Bible now, Leviticus 17, look at verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar. Notice this, to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood. Notice that. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It's not the offering. It's not the half shekel that they gave. It's not any work that we could do. It's not any goodness that we can do. It is the blood. It's the blood that makes atonement for our souls. The silver foundation becomes a symbol then of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who shed His blood on Calvary's cross, on which all of our redemption rests. It is our foundation for our redemption. For without the blood of Christ, we have no redemption. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And the latter part of that verse says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 says, for ye are bought with a price. So now turn over to 1 Peter and let's see what Peter has to say about this blood. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, we know, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, well then how were we redeemed? I'm glad it doesn't leave us guessing. Verse 19 tells us, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter calls Christ's blood precious blood, and it is precious blood. It means that it is of tremendous and immeasurable worth. We can't measure the worth of Christ's blood. It's precious blood. It was precious because it was the blood of God, not the blood of man. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was not derived from man, but it was the divine blood and the divine contribution, the blood of God. For we know Pastor has talked on this many times. If you look in the Scriptures and study the Scriptures about the amazing, miraculous virgin birth of Christ, we understand that Adam's sin transferred to each man because of the sin of Adam. And through Adam, man or child, baby, receives the blood and their sin in their blood. So we are born sinners. Well, Christ didn't have Joseph's blood. His blood was precious. It was God's blood. He was immaculately conceived. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost of God. So Jesus was virgin born without a human father. The blood of Christ was a divine contribution. I can show you that. Look at Acts chapter 20. A great verse of Scripture if you don't have marked or highlighted. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 28. Acts 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. What a verse. God purchased the church with His own blood. So is Jesus Christ God? Absolutely. The church of God. Who is the church of God? It's made up of believers in Christ. Which God, He, hath purchased with His, God's, own blood. Everything, therefore, depends upon the blood of Christ, because it is divine blood. There is no salvation apart from general or from personal. There is no salvation apart from personal appropriation of that blood by faith. I'll explain that in just a moment. It is the very foundation. It is the very bedrock. It is the very cornerstone. It is the very rock, the very silver foundation upon which all our hopes rest. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. Well, what foundation is that? Which is Jesus Christ. See how the Bible fits together when you start studying something that seems complicated, something that seems, well, this just doesn't make sense. It doesn't mesh with all the Bible when you have to take it from one passage to multiple passages, to multiple chapters, to the entire book that it's in, and to the entire Bible to see what it's talking about. And here we see that our foundation rests in Jesus Christ. Remember how we've said the tabernacle, the entire tabernacle and everything in the tabernacle points to some type, attribute, characteristic of Jesus Christ. Here we have the very foundation of the tabernacle. The thing that holds the tabernacle up. And it's Christ. But it's more than just Christ. It's His blood. The blood that redeems us and allows us into the tabernacle. Into the presence of God. Into forgiveness from God. Into cleansing from God. Into the divine guiding direction of God. Into God's provision for our daily needs. Into all aspects of intercessory prayer and forgiveness. Into the grace and mercy of God, as each item represents those things in the tabernacle. The blood of Christ obtained eternal redemption for mankind. It did. For all mankind, past, present, future, all mankind may be redeemed by the blood of Christ. However, it takes a personal, individual acceptance. And we can see that through this offering. The atonement money was a type of the price of redemption. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this atonement, this half shekel, less than 35 cents of our money today, must be individually given. Just because you are an Israelite, just because you had that half shekel in your pocket, doesn't mean you were redeemed. You had to give that. And as today, just because we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just because we believe that He was virgin born, just because we believe that He died on the cross, just because we believe that He is the Son of God, that's not enough. We must believe and receive. John 1:12. And we must do that individually. The blood of Christ again obtained eternal redemption for mankind. The services in the tabernacle, these services that are getting ready to begin, they need to be repeated and repeated and repeated continually, day after day after day, month after month after month, year after year after year. Hebrews chapters 9 and 10 tells us the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary was once and for all. So the atonement money that we go back into Exodus 30 and see now, maybe it makes a little more sense now as we read this again in Exodus 30 and verse number 12. When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them, this they shall give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. And half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. When they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls, and thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. The atonement money was a type of the price of redemption, but it points to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed His blood, His precious blood, on Calvary. But this atonement of a half a shekel must be given individually. It was an individual responsibility, as salvation is also a personal, individual responsibility. It's a personal decision, an individual decision. It must be by a personal act of faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how you're redeemed. It's not by giving. It's not by working. It's not by doing. It's not by saying. It's by believing and receiving. So let's look, as we close, in John chapter 1 and verse 12, at that verse one last time. Such an important verse in the Bible. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We must believe, not in our minds, but in our hearts. And then we must receive. You go to Romans chapter number 10. And you see again, as the Bible does not contradict itself, you look again at verse 9, Romans 10, 9, that if thou, individual, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not just believing, you must receive. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, that for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You must call out, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe, but I must call out individually and say, I believe, but I need to receive Your forgiveness. I need to receive eternal life from You, only because of You and Your shedding of the blood. And it wasn't just He didn't nick His finger and drop droplets of blood. He bled. It was a gruesome picture on the cross. And He did that with us in mind, individually, for our redemption. What a Savior. What a Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. We can't even express our thanks for what You have done for us. My, we owe You so much. And we have so little to give but ourselves. I pray, dear Lord, that You would help us to do more for You by giving of ourselves to You. Not just our monetary funds that You have blessed us with, as we feel and understand the commandment of God is to give 10%, well, the 90% is Yours too. It's all Yours. Every breath we take is Yours that You have given us. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to use our lives to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to see through this study of the book of Exodus that your Son is paramount throughout the Scriptures as he reveals to us the revelation of redemption. Thank you for the silver that represents the blood of Christ and an atoning payment. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. I pray now that you bless in the next hour. Bless our pastor. Bless all the teachers that will be teaching in the next hour. Help someone come to know Jesus as their Savior. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.